Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Hi, thanks for being with us this evening. I have a very special guest this evening. We're here with Dr. Ihaleakala Hulen, and we'll be talking to him in just a few minutes about Ho'oponopono. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. One of the things that fascinates me, and it's in all the metaphysical and shamanic traditions, is the idea that the outer world is a reflection of what's going on inside of you, of your inner world, your inner vision. Even if you're thinking about making something happen in the world, it's got to be something you can see within yourself. But in terms of healing, it's looking at the outer world as something that's going on inside of you being reflected outside. And that's part of what I love and the challenge for me in some ways of Ho'oponopono, because it really looks at everything that way. And for those of you that know about Ho'oponopono, you know that Dr. Hulen is the person who has been carrying it around the world and training people. So I am very excited to be able to spend some time with him. I took a training with him last year, and it was an amazing weekend. He's here to do another one. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So how do you give the simple explanation of what Ho'oponopono is? About the, it's sort of a worldview.
What happens is that Ho'oponopono is only about data. So the data that you see of the world is really the data in the subconscious. And so when you see the world as imperfect, then the data has to be corrected in you. And so the Ho'oponopono is about correcting incorrect, imperfect data in you.
So when you change your imperfect view of the world changes to modify itself to what's been corrected in you.
What happens is that if the data is, the imperfect data is corrected, it gets corrected throughout the whole cosmos. So whatever you correct in you gets corrected everywhere.
Sounds real easy.
Yeah, not so easy. I've been doing it for almost 29 years, and there's always data to clean up.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're now calling it data. You used to call it memories.
Yeah. But it's the data that's in the subconscious. That's the problem. And so it is memories replaying, but it's the data called memories replaying. But we got to remember that it's information. It's only information. And the subconscious is always 11 million per second.
Right. So it's, and that data is, well, we're part of it, in effect, the data network.
Yes.
And yes. Part of that network is physical, and we're affecting everything in the universe.
What one has to appreciate is what Shakespeare says, that we're an accessory to every problem. And so whatever is in our subconscious is everywhere in the universe. And so it has to, when we correct it there, it gets corrected everywhere.
Yeah. So I know a lot of people have heard, because it's all over the internet, the basic four statements in Ho'oponopono. So why don't you explain what they are and the very simplest way that people can use it, and then we can kind of go further than that.
Well, Ho'oponopono is about correcting toxic memories, and it's called data. And the way you correct it is you talk to the data. You say to the data, basically, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you and thank you. But if you say I love you, it's already part of I'm sorry, please forgive me. So you can say I love you, thank you, and that corrects the data in you. So that's what Ho'oponopono is to correct the data and the data, toxic data in you, which we call toxic energy. And so when we correct it in you, it gets corrected everywhere.
Yeah. So let's take a simple situation that people would be in. They're having a struggle with someone, their spouse, their boss, someone else. I know when I first learned Ho'oponopono, I kind of thought it was about apologizing to the other person.
Yeah.
And even when I did it that way, where I wasn't understanding it, it still made a huge shift.
Yeah.
So it's really understanding that you're not talking to the person that appears to be the problem.
Yeah, you're talking to the data.
You're talking to, right.
Yeah, and so you're correcting the data. So it's like the data is really, like Shakespeare says, rebel powers in us. In me. And so if I correct it there, it gets corrected everywhere.
So you can actually think about it as talking to the data wherever it is.
Yes.
Even if you see the data outside yourself.
There's no such thing as outside.
Right. Right. As what appears to be outside yourself.
Yeah.
But you can also look at it as the part of yourself that is manifesting that problem out into the world. But either way, if you just ask for forgiveness and send love.
Yeah, you know, it's again the story of love your enemies. Yeah,
right.
So your only enemies are those toxic memories replaying imperfect data. And so you're saying to the memories, I love you and thank you. So that's the only way it's going to get corrected. Yeah.
Right. And especially what's going on in the world right now, I call it fear soup. You know, there are fear messages everywhere. There are messages in all the commercials and politics and everything else saying, here's what's wrong in the world. Here's why you have to be afraid of it. Oh, my God, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. In many ways, Ho'oponopono is the only thing I've seen that addresses that whole problem and just says that that's all nonsense, but it's there and affecting us. So,
And what's so unique about the Ho'oponopono? You're only looking at yourself. What's going on in me that I'm experiencing that data? If so, if the commercials are toxic, then what's going on in me that I'm experiencing that as being toxic?
Mm-hmm.
And so you make the correction in you. But I'm sorry. I love you. Thank you. Whatever you want to do. As soon as you do that, then you leave it in the hands of divinity, who can make that correction.
So in a way, it's a form of prayer.
Yes.
It's an asking.
It's a petition to the divinity in you. So I'm experiencing these errors, and I would like to make amends for them. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And so, but only the divinity who created you can correct that error.
Right. Yeah. I actually sat with a friend of mine that's been in 12-step programs most of his life, and we looked at Ho'oponopono and what it addresses and the 12 steps. And other than the actually making amends in person, all 12 steps, all the intention of the 12 steps are covered in the four statements in Ho'oponopono, which at the time we just sat there mind-boggled by how powerful it is and how it's all there.
But, you know, you're God-made. So as being God made, you have a choice. You have a choice to either be divine, or you have a choice to be what Shakespeare called death. It's either life or death, you know.
Right.
Isn't there somebody here and somebody says, give me liberty or give me death or something? Well, that was in North Carolina or something.
Yeah, no, that was up around here. For the audience, where I'm talking to Dr. Ulen in Boston. So indeed, all those things happened right here. It's a very interesting time just looking at, what was the country built on? What were the original statements? And looking at how things have shifted. The violence here in our country against the people that are doing the Occupy Wall Street demonstrations, but also the violence all over the world. And part of what goes on for me with that is it's real easy to just be angry.
Yes.
You know, that anyone could treat anybody else that way.
Yeah.
And
we can't help it. We have programmed ourselves to be angry, annoyed, and irritable. But we have choice. We can choose to let it go.
Right. Right. And that's part of the power that I see in the Ho'oponopono process is when you're sitting there helpless, angry, watching what's going on, it gives you something that you can actually do that makes a difference.
Yeah.
takes a while for people to realize they're making a difference.
And for me, it always takes a while. It's never something that I've like permanently acquired. It's something that I get annoyed, irritable, like that. But I know that it's only me, and it's only the data. It's not me. It's the data in me that I'm experiencing that I can correct.
Yeah. So, and we can correct not only for ourselves, but for the entire system, universe.
The whole entire universe. By pulling it out of you, if the divinity is willing to correct it in you, it'll get corrected everywhere.
There have been a number of events where large groups have prayed for peace, and they could see changes in the amount of violence in the place that they prayed for. Have you ever done large group Ho'oponopono focusing on something particular?
I don't do that. I only do the cleaning for me. What's going on in me? So, you know, anybody, everybody, nobody, somebody can do it. And if we don't do it, then nobody else is going to do it. And you can't pray for other people. It's only peace begins here. And then once I find peace, then peace will be everywhere.
Well, that kind of gets around to a question that I started to ask you before we went online. Many of the people listening do various kinds of healing modalities and feel called to help people with the skills and sensitivities that they've developed. And that's a real external focus where you see the person as having a problem that you can help them with. What's your perspective from Ho'oponopono towards doing those kinds of healing modalities?
I think people have to find their own way. For me, the way that works for me is that I know when something comes up, what's going on in me that I'm experiencing that. If I correct it in me, it gets corrected everywhere. And so, you know, that's always, I'm asking myself. I remember Morna used to say, hey, look at yourself, look at yourself, look. And it was like a mantra, you know, yourself. Yeah.
Well, and tell the story of Morna, who was your teacher and the one who came up with the concept of it being an internal process.
Yeah. And first of all, she was a very sweet soul. She never said anything to me. She never taught me anything. But I know she was doing the cleaning. That I know. And so only out of that cleaning I got to be more clear and more clear. But the benefit I got from hanging around with her is the benefit of her doing the cleaning.
Right. As opposed to some of my teachers who would just put me in really strange situations to help me be able to be desensitized to the weirdness in the world.
I had the benefit of her doing the cleaning because I just noticed over the 10 years I spent with her, I finally got at some point that it's just me. If I correct it in me, then everybody else will be fine.
Yeah, I just want to grab that thing you kind of said in the middle of the sentence, which is you spent 10 years with your teacher.
Yeah.
And a lot of people come to somebody who's mastered something, has been doing it for a long time, and say, I want to know what you know. Show me.
Yeah, she won't.
And
she wouldn't.
Well, you can't.
Yeah.
You know.
She, not that she wouldn't, but she didn't do it. I just got the benefit of her cleaning.
Right.
It got clearer and clearer. And even today, 19 years after her going, I'm still working on getting clear, you know.
Right. But I just wanted to make sure people were hearing the part of, you know, that you spent 10 years with your teacher, it takes an apprenticeship, it takes time with the master teacher to get to the level where you can give that same energy, that same shift in consciousness to other people. Because that was, my best friend's going to be at the Atlanta training, and he's been hearing about Ho'oponopono, he's been using it for a long time, and I said, Dr. Hugh Ledden's going to be there in Atlanta next, you know, basically in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You got to be there. And he was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. because he does another tradition. He does other healing work, but he knows what it means to be around a master of what you're trying to learn, and that is spending time with that person and the energy of that person.
My responsibility, like with this training in Boston for Atlanta, and I'm going to be finishing up in Washington, D.C. and in Mexico City, is I'm only here to clean.
Right.
I'm really clear about that. If I clean, people have questions, but it won't be so contentious. I just found that out. If I get so they send me the data, the information every day. So as long as I get the cleaning, I'll be fine. Nobody will get really pissed off. Occasionally, somebody will get really angry and annoyed and irritable. But that's very seldom nowadays. Yeah.
Well, my favorite line, I don't want to steal your best line, but my favorite line from the training was, you know, this is really simple. I can make it harder and charge you more money and take more time.
Yeah.
But this is really simple. Don't make it hard.
Yeah.
It's just about the cleaning.
And you know, the intellect can help it. You know, it's always going to engage. And so as it engages, I get a chance to clean it. Look at my, what's going on that this question comes up? So I get to clean with those things.
Right. And that's so powerful for anybody who is in front of an audience or in a meeting or anything else where somebody is asking questions and you really want to be mad that they're giving you a hard time. But as you integrate doing Ho'oponopono without thinking of it, where it becomes that automatic reaction that that's what I need to do in response to this, these things, the awareness is there and the habit is there. Then you don't get caught in that stuff.
In the struggle.
Right, because you can do it immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been doing it for a few years, and I'm not there yet.
Okay.
So, and it's from what you're saying, it's still occasionally a struggle for you, too.
Absolutely. And it's a struggle every day. People, in my mind, questions will always come up. This is engaging the data. But I'm willing, I just know that if I let that go, I can get to clarity and then I can get inspired. And how do I know if I'm inspired? I don't know until after I go, wow.
Right.
You know, it's an after thing. I want to know what you got out of that. I mean, what did you get out of this information about the Ho'oponopono? What did you get out of it?
Well, you go into more depth about the theory of how it works and all that. And I found that fascinating. But it also was a challenge to me to realize that it's all me, that it's not external. But I know somebody mentioned, I think Kahuna or some other shamanic tradition, and you were very vehement that there's no intention involved in this, that it's just the cleaning.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings me around to something we started to talk about before. I do shamanic healing. I do mostly clearing of land and buildings, but also people. So it's an intention-based, psychic-based kind of process. So in that view, I'm looking for what's wrong and using my skills to correct it in the way that I understand how to. What I've found is that my process now always starts with Ho'oponopono. So I just sit quietly with, okay, why is this in front of me?
Mm-hmm.
What is it in me that is causing, affecting this, drawing it to me, however I position it at that point, and do that until I feel quiet, and then do my work, the different levels of my work, without being attached to the outcome, without feeling like there's a big problem that I have to deal with. I get the feeling that from your perspective, all I need to do is the Ho'oponopono and have the intention that the situation be resolved. Either I'm not there yet or I'm on a different level, but I think that's a challenge for a lot of people who are already doing some kind of healing work to integrate Ho'oponopono.
You know, there's that old story, physician heal thyself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and so it's only about that, as opposed to thinking that you can help other people. For me, I have found if I do my cleaning and keep my mouth shut, if it's a hard, you always wanted to say something. Like with my children, I have two children, two daughters and some grandchildren. I never say anything. It never works. If I say something, I'm bad. You know, their eyeballs will roll. So and they're very good teachers for me. So for me, if I do, and it has to be constant. So if somebody gives me, I've experienced a problem with a client, like I'm working with somebody who I've known for like 20 something years. I never stop dealing with him. Never, never, never. If the cleaning is ongoing. So in my mind, I said, okay, let's clean. I'm talking to my subconscious.
Right.
Let's do the cleaning and let's not stop doing the cleaning until it's done.
Yeah. So it's creating an inner process, an inner intention that the cleaning is happening even if you're not focusing on it.
Yes. And you're training the subconscious to do that. The subconscious has this tremendous ability to do it nonstop, even when you're sleeping. So that's what I'm trained my subconscious to be able to do those things and to do it nonstop.
So are you still seeing people as a psychologist?
No. I gave that up like, 19 years ago or something. I don't do that anymore. People ask, and I try not to do it, but in some cases I will do it.
I'm sure you have a very different perspective from most psychologists. You know, you're saying, physician, heal thyself. And in my experience, most people that are in that field are in it because they have their own things to deal with. And
for example, I have a person who's a CPA. He's having lots of problems, back, sciatic, all that. But it's because of his connection with the clients he has.
Mm-hmm.
He's built the clients over like many, many years. And so if he doesn't cut his ties with his clients, he's going to have those problems.
So he's taking on the energy of the anxiety of his clients.
But he's been with them before. So now they've come back again, and now this thing gets activated.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to tell some of your stories after the break.
Okay.
But let's give the contact information so that people that want to find you and the organization and take trainings where you're doing this, be able to find out.
Okay.
Do you know the website, or do we need to get it from Martine?
So the website is www.self-i-identity-through-ho'oponopono.com, or you can Google IZILLC and it will get there too.
Great. So IDILLC is the organization, and you can Google that and find the information, and also post the link, because it's a very long link, with this on the website, so people can just click on it and find you.
They can go also just through IZILLC.
Yeah.
It'll come up.
Okay, so we're going to go to a break in just a minute, and then we'll be back with Dr. Ihaliakala Kulen in a few minutes on the Farkas Files here on Empower Radio.
Coming up next is a really funny guy. You all know him. Let's give it up for Alonzo Bowden. Alonzo!
So my uncle calls and he says he's dizzy and he's losing his balance. I'm like, Unc, you want me to take you to a doctor? He's like, no, I'm going to look up the symptoms. I said, your symptoms are you're dizzy and you're losing your balance. So he said, I can't get on the internet because my arm is numb. I said, well, use your good arm and dial 911.
Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love is showing symptoms of stroke, don't call family, don't dial a friend, don't wait because it might be too late. Dial 911. Time lost is brain lost. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I'm a retired teacher. I'm 91 years old, and this is how I live United. I say retired, but not really. Once a week, I read books to children as part of United Way's education program. Reading to a child creates links between language and literacy. It creates a bond between grown-up and child. And believe it or not, it prepares them for a better academic future. Oh, we read about frogs and flies and pigs with wings, all sorts of juicy stuff. It's a joy to watch all those little faces. I figure I have the time and they have the need. And I've always believed that if we're not here to help each other, then what are we here for really? My name is Ruth Russi. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org.
Wild animals face many risks at the hands of humans, but the pervasive and unprecedented destruction of their habitat threatens their very existence. More than 30% of the world's mammals and birds are considered threatened with extinction. We're in the midst of the first great mass extinction to be caused by humans. The only humane solution is land conservation and connecting fragmented wildlife habitats. For more than a decade, the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust has worked with private landowners to protect wildlife by preserving natural habitats and establishing permanent sanctuaries. Creating shelters without walls, the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust takes a unique stand in the National Land Trust community by prohibiting recreational and commercial hunting and trapping on our properties. Those who care deeply about animals must work together to ensure that wildlife will always have the wild places they need to survive and thrive. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Hugh Lin here on the Farkas Files. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, there's a story, I know it's the story that I saw that was my introduction to the idea of Ho'oponopono. And that was the story of your work at the Hospital for the Criminally Insane in Hawaii. And I'd love to hear the full version of that, because online it's just a few paragraphs.
So I was a staff psychologist at Hawaii State Hospital. And when I arrived, there were many problems in the ward. Problems like attack.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Hugh Lin here on the Farkas Files, and I just wanted to hear the whole story of the story that most people have read online. That's the introduction to you and Ho'oponopono, and that's your work at the Hospital for the Criminally Insane in Hawaii.
Okay. First of all, I wanted to be really clear that it was a psychiatric hospital, and then I had a ward for so-called criminally insane people.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what was fascinating is that every seclusion room had somebody in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what that ward was experiencing was attacks on staff and attacks on other clients. So that went on, I guess, for years and years. And the other thing I was impressed was that the turnaround time was several years. So when somebody came in, before they went out, it took years for them to get out. And so after I did the cleaning, and it went on for months and months and months, then the seclusion room just kind of slightly became less and less people in it, and then nobody was in it. And then the attacks on the staff was less and less, and then nobody attacked. And then what I found out was that part of what happened is that the folks couldn't go outside of the building without a doctor's prescription. They couldn't do that. And then after several months, whatever happened, we had them going out. So they went out to play tennis. They went out to play basketball. But the place got very, very quiet. And that's the story, that the attacks ended. I remember one case in which there was a young man went walking up and down the the ward, and he had kind of frayed the carpet. It was up and down. And then one day, one of the nurses said to me, "Dr. Yuen, do you see something that's different?" I didn't see it. And he said, "He stopped doing it." And I went, "Stop doing what?" Because I didn't even notice that. But he stopped walking, and then maybe several months later, he went home. So that's the kind of thing that the idea of this notion of healer or physician heals thyself. But it's only about healing yourself, and then everybody else will be fine.
And part of what I found fascinating, though, is you weren't doing sessions with the clients. You weren't meeting them on the unit. You were reviewing records.
Yes.
So you were sitting alone in an office off the unit.
I had to look like I was doing something. And so basically that's what I did. But it was more to occupy my time. But in the meantime, not only was I working on patients, I was working on the building. I was working on the land. I was working on staff because staff have personal problems of their own. I was working on all of the records. So everything I could, in my mind, I could work on, I worked on. And so the place got more and more quiet. And then the turnaround time was, instead of years, it was turnaround time with months. So the hospital literally saved a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, saved a lot of money and a lot of pain for a lot of people.
Agony. A lot of agony. And the other thing that happened is that as the turnaround time to go back to the community, less and less people came back, and then nobody came back.
So you were just sitting there looking at either the records or thinking about the situation.
I was there sitting, looking, taking the time to only work on myself. What's going on myself on me when the nurse would say, "This is what happened. Dr. Yuen, he attacked a certain person," and I just worked on that. Didn't have any sessions, didn't have any, do any therapy at all. Just looked at myself.
Yeah, I hope people are just sitting there now and taking this in at how powerful this process is. But for me personally, since I work on land and people and businesses and situations and all of those same things, but I do it with a whole other process, intention, shamanic kind of process. What you're describing is just doing Ho'oponopono for every aspect, for the land, for the building, for the staff.
So you don't know, for example, like here in this area, as before I came, I did the cleaning, not only with Boston, but I did the cleaning with everything. And you can see a lot of bloodshed still.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can see that coming out of the land. You can see earthbound spirits, souls just walking and wandering. They don't know where to go. And so I'm only here in this area to clean up whatever's going on in me, so I can be at peace, and then this area can be at peace too. You know.
Right. And that's the kind of stuff that I do. Focus on an area. See all of that, that all those different levels of historic stuff, and you know, offer an opportunity for them to move on.
So, for example, one of the things that's possible here is that you're on a fault, and so this whole area could go
right.
Yeah, and so I'm working on something like that because if I don't work on it, I'm going to be held responsible. I'm going to be held personally responsible if I don't work on these things. No?
Well, one of the things is there are things that come to your attention, and you can work on those things consciously. You know, so if either there's some event or some person or situation, or I assume in a vision, whatever your process is, you can see that there are issues when you focus on a place or...
Or the way you can handle that, you simply say to the divinity, "Okay, I've done what I'm conscious of, and then I would like for you to include anything I've missed." And so I have that dialogue with divinity. Please include anything I've missed. Because, you know, 11 million data, I'm only aware of 15, 20 per second. And so I'm asking the divinity if it would include any unknown information I'm not aware of.
So
I always do that.
So it's there are things that set you in focusing in a certain direction.
Yeah.
But then you also ask for that to expand to everything.
Absolutely. Anything I miss that's correct to put in, I ask that that be put in.
And that's a very familiar idea to me. You know, the way I look at a lot of what I do is that I'm working with archangels, and my job is to ask them to intervene because we have free will and they can't intervene if nobody asks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do a lot of, help with this, help with that. Different language, different way of saying it, but exactly the same process. Mm. I used to be an EMT, and which is always kind of strange when you can see. And I'd get to an accident, for example, and all the angels would be there ready to help, but nobody had asked.
Mm.
And they're just waiting for somebody to, even just say, oh, God, but, I need help here. And, I was kind of cavalier then and go, hi, guys, let's do it, But they can't intervene if there aren't people like you and other people that ask for that intervention, that ask for that help.
Yeah, because basically we don't know anything. We can't feel anything. It's the divine in us, that I in us, that can do it. So I've learned over the years that when I am not clear about something, is to ask whatever I'm missing, like Isaiah says in the Bible, where we have secret faults. So I include that as divine creator to include any and all information.
We're trying to just do an interview, but this is so exciting for me, getting a deeper perspective on how powerful this can be.
Like you and the people here, you're God made, so you can tap directly to the divinity as opposed to going through something else, So for me, I honor that. It's like talking to myself all the time, every day, moment to moment. Okay, when I'm on an airplane, something happens. Oh, okay, what's going on in me? Because airplanes are very interesting things to be on when you're sitting next to somebody who's snoring, or somebody back in there who's talking loud, and you get bugged by it. But it's only daily and you
right
bugging.
Right, or noticing that the staff on the plane are annoyed about something, or something else is going on.
And what I find out that if I do it beforehand, if I talk to the airplane, flight 743, if I talk to the airplane before I do talk to the airplane, talk to the passengers, and I do it weeks in advance, then it goes much easier.
Among my friends, I'm well known for getting them out of travel problems.
Yeah.
And it's a very, I do it with a visualization, but it's basically the same thing. Clear everything that's causing the problem. And they get on the flight they need to get on, or the traffic jam opens up, or whatever it is. But it's, which is fun, but it's the same. Okay, there's something here that needs to be cleaned. Let's get it cleaned up so that this is not a problem anymore. So, that's the dramatic story people know about, but what are some of the other dramatic applications of Ho'oponopono that you've seen, or that you've seen more or someone else do, where they focused on a major situation, complicated situation? And
I can see how when the cleaning is done, how it prevents a lot of suffering from occurring. A lot of earth movements that had the cleaning not taken place, it would be a horrendous kind of earth movement causing a lot of problems.
And which right now is especially important. Everybody is looking at the information about the Mayan calendar, about things that are happening in terms of earth movement, volcanoes, sun, solar flares, and all the rest of it. And the usual thing is people get the information and have some version of, oh, my God, the sky is falling. That sense of helplessness and just watching it happen, not knowing what's going on.
But I think what I like about the Ho'oponopono is that it can prevent things from happening that otherwise would have taken place. But more importantly, I would have been held responsible.
Right.
Yeah. So like coming to Boston and seeing these earthbound spirits. I mean, thousands of them. And not only earthbound spirits of people, but frogs, toads, earth movement, people back and back. And then hopefully when I'm here, everything will be settled. And then when I leave, then they can.
Well, and that's always a fascinating thing to try and understand. Is you can clean up to the present moment, can clean all of the things that have happened up to the present moment and set an intention that it will be.
You can do it beyond.
You can do into the future.
Yeah, because it's the data. It's old data that you're correcting. And so that data in you can be corrected. So you don't, it's old. And if that means if it repeats itself, then you're going to be held responsible.
Yeah. As the more I listen to you, the more I see the parallels to what I do. In my vision, I see grids, and I can see the damage that was caused is connected to past events, to trauma, to things in organic tissue look different than things in structures, that kind of thing. But it's a visualization that I was given by Spirit a number of years ago. People say, how do you fix it? And I say, well, you reset it. And everybody scratches their heads, but basically it's like reformatting a hard drive. You recreate the structure that the data was in, but the data is now gone because all the holes and distortions and everything else have gone back to their normal state. And, what I'm hearing, what I'm feeling is that that's kind of a representation of what Ho'oponopono does.
But what Ho'oponopono is probably a restoration, but the restoration, it gets you back to the void, gets you back to nothing. Shakespeare is nothing. It gets you back to zero. So when you say the I prayer, I am the I come forth from the void into light. So you can only get light if there's no blockage.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's both that reset, that reformatting, and the intention that that will be what progresses into the future.
Yeah. And the idea is to take everything back to nothing, just to take it back to the void, to get it back to a pure heart. That's what all these great sages have come to say. Jesus, Shakespeare, quantum physics, just saying hello, just restore it back to nothing, and then out of nothing, then anything can happen.
Yeah, nothing is really hard for people to wrap their heads around. but there's all of it. But. Especially I have a few clients that are what we call drama queens. It's all about telling the story.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for them to hear. Just stop telling the story.
Yeah.
Just don't tell the story. Just do Ho'oponopono stuff.
Yeah.
But, and they go on with the story again.
That's why in the classes I've done this year, you have these questions. But, somebody's got to clean it up.
Right.
And so I get a chance to make amends for them. Because nobody can help it. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do.
Right.
So somebody's got to clean it up.
Right. The other thing that comes to mind is my daughter is 16 and she's a stunning young woman. And some of the neighbors that I haven't seen in a while saw me and said, well, I feel so bad for you. I'm like, why do you feel bad that I have this incredible child? I said, well, the boys are going to be after her and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so you want me to focus on what I don't want in order to somehow protect my child from what I don't want? No, that doesn't work. What I do is see her in her perfection, totally safe.
Yeah.
And, I do both my version of cleaning and my version of protection, but Ho'oponopono as well. And most people don't realize how much they focus on what they don't want, creating the kinds of problems that then they need to clean.
And they cannot help it. So that's where you and I come up. When people have their stories, like I'm hanging around very wonderful people who have many stories. I get to sit there and watch the cleaning. Because if I don't do the cleaning, nobody, everybody, nobody, somebody's got to do it.
Right.
And it's not I'm cleaning because, but I'm cleaning because it's in me.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. So we just mentioned Moira for a moment, but she was very special, not just to you, but in Hawaii and the background. Ho'oponopono, as I understand it from what I read, originally was kind of a mediation process between individuals where someone sat down with a family or two people that had some kind of struggle. And Moira was the one that reconceptualized it and said, it's not about this outside mediation process.
It's about you.
It's a bit.
And so the Ho'oponopono, as compared to the traditional Ho'oponopono, which is you need to have a kahuna there to arbitrate. So you don't need a kahuna in this process. You just need to, you can talk directly to the divinity. But it's important to know who you are. To thine own self be true. It's so important to know your identity.
Yeah, in the training you went over some, well, in the materials, there's something that feels a lot like it came from the old tradition of mediating between two parties that had a conflict. And there was a really wonderful feeling to that. But if you know that all you have to do is do your side of it, clean yourself in the situation, then you don't have to go through that.
Yeah. And it's only data. So it's a toxic, dead data or a life. So, you know, the conscious mind has a choice, you know.
Yeah, I have an interesting time trying to talk to quantum physicists or especially people that are into string theory. Getting across the idea that it's data points that don't have any structure. The information is there, but there isn't anything physically there. That data stream is what's creating reality, and that data stream can be changed.
Yeah.
And I see it as a network. I see a structure to it, but there's no thing there.
You know, one of the things about quantum physics is that at some point the universe is going to go dead. That's the story.
Right.
But I'm just making a plug with Ho'oponopono. But if you're always correcting the data, so now the data becomes purified. Now you have new data. I mean, source of new data. You can just keep going forever and ever. Because we're immortal, you know. We're perfectly made.
We have this little isolated experience in space-time. And then there's everything else that's going on besides what we experience physically. So you have trainings coming up. It's this weekend, actually. This show is going to be on after the training in Boston.
I have the class here this weekend.
And when's the one in Atlanta?
I'm going to go from here, and then I'm going to go fly back to Los Angeles, and I'll do the Mexico City class. Then I go back to Los Angeles, and then I fly to Atlanta to do that class. And then I finally go to Philadelphia and then fly down to Washington, D.C. to do that class.
So is there training in Philadelphia as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Not that I'm going to do. There might be another training, but.
Okay, so the trainings in the U.S. In the next several months are in Atlanta and Washington, D.C.
Here in Boston.
Okay, and as I've been getting that information, I'm posting it on my blog as well, so there's one more place that people can see that information. And again, you can get more information by Googling IDI. LLC, and that'll take you to their website, which has a very long URL and will be on the site, so you can click on it. and you can get the additional information there. So, Ho'oponopono is very simple, and I want to just repeat the very basics. All you have to do is say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
Okay.
And it's just a conversation within yourself to
with the data.
Yeah. And asking divinity to clear all the data, clean the data.
Yeah. So when the conscious mind begins the process, then everything falls into place. So now the subconscious can do, send the data up to the superconscious. Superconscious can do its job, refine it, send it up to divinity. Divinity can do its job, come down and erase the data. But it has to begin with the conscious mind. Otherwise, nothing happens.
So it's basically an awareness process, realizing that you have to take the first step.
Yeah.
And make the request, say the statements.
Yeah. And this, for me, it's so powerful to watch how it works.
Just watch people change.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So to give the people that aren't here what's happening, I'm in a room with Dr. Hugh Lennon and two other people, and he just looked over his shoulder. which I totally understand. So we have a few more minutes. You have an audience here. You have a group of people that are focused on making change in the world.
Oh, making change in them.
Right.
And then making the change. The change in the world will be automatic. Yeah.
So it's the real getting and repeating again and again. The real shift in focus is realizing that if it's bugging you or you're seeing it in the outside world or on TV or wherever it seems to be that isn't you, that it is you. Because everything, you're a part of everything, everything's a part of you.
The story is, before you turn on the television, do your cleaning.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll find yourself turning to the right station.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so before you have a party, do your cleaning. And so the party will go much cleaner. People won't get bugged. So the idea is, before you show up in an airplane, do your cleaning. Otherwise, the airplane will say something like this to you. I was on the Aloha airline years ago. I heard the plane go, ooh. And I said, what's going on? He said, well, no, I take cargo. I take passengers. I fly literally night and day. But nobody appreciates me.
Right. Nobody talks to me.
Yeah. Nobody says to me, thank you. Yeah. I said, I'm going to say thank you. And he said, well, I have to think about it. You know, that's why planes go down. It's not because of pilot error. I mean, it looks like pilot error. Planes go down because they don't feel appreciated and they don't feel loved and cared for.
Oh, and I've heard you say the same thing about meeting rooms.
Yeah. Not only that, businesses don't do well because nobody says to the business, I love you and thank you. Thank you, you know.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We're too busy trying to make money, and as opposed to making money, but falling in love with the business. And so you don't put money first. You put the business first. You put, the source that makes the money, you put that first, as opposed to putting money first. And too bad for us. That's why we're having all these financial problems.
Right.
Because we put money first.
Yeah, I think the first time I realized the whole appreciation, nobody loves me experience going on for something that I didn't have any sense it could be going on was trees.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many trees now are not part of a grove of trees where they were seeded by the grandmother tree.
Yeah.
That was the first tree there.
Yeah.
They're planted by some human being that decided it would be a good place for a tree. And people don't talk to trees anymore.
Yeah.
They don't appreciate trees anymore. Right. And they're not near other trees. So they're totally alone.
I had a person in Paraguay. He's originally from Germany. He's planting trees now. But before he plants them, he talks to them. But where do you want to go? He talks to the land. Which one of you would like to hold this tree?
Right.
And as he says, his business is taking off. He appreciates the Ho'oponopono because Ho'oponopono gives him a chance to make the cleaning, and then he can hear, oh, here's where that tree is going.
Which is what you're talking about, inspiration. After the cleaning, suddenly the next step becomes clear.
Things are willing to talk to you more. Like the television set. I remember the other day I was about to turn the television set on, and the set says, I wouldn't turn me on. I said, oh, okay. I did. Yeah. I said, thank you.
So, you know, I'm always amused that, you know, all the psychologists, the psychiatrists out there will now put both of us into a little box in the DSM-5.
And I get to clean with that.
But, you know, I had an aunt who knew nothing about any of this stuff, who just talked to everything. And we all thought she was a little bit dingy. And as my life has gone on, she's long gone. Yeah. I've realized how much she understood.
Yeah. And how much, not only understood, but how much she appreciated life. That's what the Ho'oponopono is. It's an appreciation for your family, relatives, trees, Mother Earth. But in this process, we forget Mother Earth and we rape Mother Earth. We're in the always taking from Mother Earth. I'm reading these little books, these things that Marriott is saying, we're trying to save Mother Earth. And
trying to save money.
Remember, I didn't say that. He did.
Well, Dr. Hulan, this has been a privilege and an honor.
Thank you very much.
Such a pleasure. Yeah. And thank you so much for being on. We unfortunately have to end this. We're just out of time. But I'm very glad that I'll be able to share this with everybody.
So, thank you very much.
We'll be back next Thursday on The Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio.